Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Things finally start going well, and you pick a fight. You're consistent for weeks, and then randomly you fall off. You feel happy, and then suddenly you're feeling anxious for no reason at all. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Today's episode is called Why You Sabotage Good Things, and it's something that we have found ourselves doing, and we found everybody seems to do this at one point or another in your life. I'm Andrew, and with me always is Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited about this topic.
Yeah, me too. I think it's something that you and I have personally talked about a lot because we notice it within ourselves and each other and just the world at large. But it's a hard one. Like when you were first introduced to this concept, what was your initial kind of thought on this? Was it an aha moment or was it like your brain rejecting it going like, nah, this isn't it?
No, I think I was probably not super kind to myself once I started learning about it because it was just like, oh, you're the reason why stuff's falling apart. It's not like the world's a mix of good and bad and highs and lows. It's like, no, it's you, Kat. You're doing it to yourself. But I think that once I get over the initial like, oh, okay, I think it's a really interesting dive into why we do things the way we do them, how we view ourselves impacts these things. And in many ways, it's a worthiness issue. Sometimes we don't think we deserve the good things, whether consciously or subconsciously. So it's a very fascinating discussion. There's more to it than initially meets the eye.
Yeah, I think it's such a fascinating idea. And I have found so often, more often than not, that when things are going good and then they stop, it's usually there's that leak of a thought of like, this can't last forever. Sometimes it's even just more subconscious and it's like, well, I'm just gonna blow this up right now. And then suddenly you're sitting there 10 minutes later. I'm like, we were having a really good night until I decided to bring up like, you know, a controversial topic that I knew was going to be a fight. And I don't even remember why I did that. I don't know how we went from watching cartoons to this. Wow, this is weird. Yeah. So yeah, it's not random. It's not a lack of discipline. It's like there's a reason why we sabotage good things. And the good news is once you see it, you can actually stop doing it. Once you can start calling this out, your life is going to change because you're going to be able to see like, oh, this is, you know, we call it a happiness ceiling. We'll get into that in a little bit. But this is the familiarity switch getting turned on. That's why I'm reverting back to basic me right now.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is the pattern of it. It's like things feel good. And for a lot of people, that starts to feel uncomfortable, whether because, you know, if something's good, maybe it's got to be bad soon. Or again, that self-worth that I shouldn't be having something so good. I feel bad for having something so good. And then you kind of self-sabotage and then you kind of reset. And for many people, this goes back to their childhoods. This goes back to so many deep-rooted things. But again, if you normalize it and realize that a lot of people do this, there's no shame. You're not broken. It's just a pattern. And we're here to explain how to break it. And it's hard. Like Andrew said, we do this ourselves all the time. And it's just being conscious of it is what really helps to break it.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, I'm not really sure this kind of sounds familiar, but maybe my ego is protecting me from going deeper into this because it doesn't want to change or whatever. This is something we cover in coaching a lot, right? Because when somebody is growing into the 5-year version of themselves, there is a natural snapback that wants to happen because you're stretching. And just like any elastic band, you stretch too far, it can snap back. So it's all about doing it kind of gradually. When we are looking at this stuff, some relatable situations that you might recognize is maybe in a relationship, everything is going well. You've had a great week, great month. And you might even have that little thought of, wow, things are going so great right now. And just a little bit from personal experience on that one, and then suddenly you're driving in the car and, you know, the smallest thing gets brought up and it's this devastating thing to you. And you break that good streak because you're just, you don't know why you're doing it. Like, and you justify it in your brain, like, oh, I was hungry, this and that. And it's like, no, you hit a happiness ceiling. Well, the one that I know is so relatable to me is losing weight. When I want to get, 10 pounds less, and I get to the 10 pounds less, I'm like, man, yeah, I'm doing this. This is amazing. And then that night I'm like, I wonder if potato chips are still good for me. And, suddenly I've gone to the convenience store and I've come back with chocolate and all the things that I'm not supposed to be eating. But it's like, and then I go back to my mean weight, my normal weight. So yeah, can you think of any examples, Catherine, that might come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I've talked about this with friends before. They'll be like, oh, we were on the nicest family hike and like the kids were getting along and like my husband and I were holding hands on the walk. And it's like, but then you do the thing where you verbally say, wow, this is one of the nicest days we've had as a family or something. And suddenly like one kid has a nosebleed and then you lose your dog and it's a whole thing, So I know that we're not the only ones that have this. And like you said, it's applicable in many different categories. For sure, weight loss and things like that. There's definitely a popular gauge in personal finance. They call it like the temperature gauge, right?
Financial thermostat.
And the theory is that, you get kind of used to and comfortable being at a certain place with your finances, which can also be you're addicted to the stress of being in debt because that's what makes you like go out and hustle and get side gigs and whatever. But the idea is that if somebody suddenly gets a lot of money, they'll maybe spend it quickly or allocate it quickly or do something quickly. So a lot of financial coaches will say, if you get a bigger paycheck, if you get an inheritance, if you get a big tax refund, just let it sit. Like, get used to the feeling of having that number in your bank account, because the financial thermostat kicks in and you instantly want to go back to what you're used to. And it's not necessarily a conscious thing, but we've had it happen with coaching clients before. They're like, oh gosh, like I was saving money to do this and meet this big goal, but my car needed this huge repair. I'm like, so not surprised that happened, right? That is so common that like you finally get the $1,000 to do the thing and then your subconscious is like, oh no, I got to use it on my car. I know that sounds metaphysical, but that's what we do on this show sometimes.
Yeah, we're a combination of reality and the metaphysical and energy and all that stuff, because it's all prevalent. And I think when most of us look back on, it's often easier to analyze other people than it is to analyze ourselves. But when you are looking at other people, you can see their patterns. You can see how it's like the guy who builds houses, like is on a really good streak and says the words like, wow, things have never been better. And then suddenly they hit some sort of thing happens with their business or something around them, and they're not getting the contracts that they used to. People with weight loss, people with their kids and getting along. It's almost like we're not conscious that we're doing it, but for me, we call it the happiness ceiling in general. And the financial thermostat is a really important concept to understand. And you could just apply this as like your life thermostat as well. When it comes to your life, the thermostat in the room, if it's set to 72 or 22, whatever that temperature is set to, the thermostat doesn't care. So if you get the house really, really hot, it's 100 degrees outside and you have all the doors open, all the windows open, the thermostat's going to kick in and bring you back from 100 down to 72. And that's what happens to a lot of us. We kind of start raising our thermostat and normality kicks in and goes, so this isn't comfortable. I don't know how to handle this. And it brings it back. And the same thing happens the other way. And your thermostat is at 66 because, again, the windows are open and the cold air is coming in, your thermostat's going to kick on and it's going to find you that normal float point of 72 and raise you back up to that level. It's something to be really aware of. I first got this concept from T. Harv Eker in his book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Great book. And it's all about just millionaire habits and it's all mindset stuff. And this concept has always stuck with me because you can really just see your results. And if you're wondering what your thermostat is set to, look at your results right now. And once you see that, you can go, okay, I need to raise it. And sometimes we want to raise it. We want to go from 72 to 80 right away or 100 or beyond. And our bodies may not let us do that. So sometimes you have to just gradually increase it.
It's true. And I think having the awareness to know when things feel uncomfortable and to understand that the discomfort that you feel doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong. I think about it with relationships. Andrew is a very calm man, but it took me a while to get used to it because all of us are affected by our upbringings and previous relationships and things like that. And for many of us, if you grew up or you experienced relationships that maybe were turbulent or, you know, had a lot of highs and lows, or maybe, you know, whenever things were quiet in your house growing up, it usually meant that like something bad was going to go down. So as an adult, learning that calm is the goal, peace is the goal, and knowing that good things and good people can sometimes feel unfamiliar depending on your background is a really good thing to be aware of. And for me, my brain just had to really get used to the fact that Andrew really is a peaceful gem every day. This is really how he is. And I think a lot of women think that like calm men or like calm relationships are like boring. They kind of, you know, this is like the typical idea of like women going for the bad boys and things like that. And it's just, it leads to these really challenging relationships. And I think that if more people realize that like calm and steady, it creates this beautiful life, there'd be like less of that self-sabotage, right? Less of those worthiness issues. But it took me a long time to figure that out. But I think it relates to this topic for sure.
Absolutely. I think when something like that happens, we are addicted to the hormones of stress. Mm-hmm. And that's all we know. So if you grow up in an environment of chaos and unsettling and, you know, always waiting for the other shoe to drop, you are going to seek that out in your life. And when you have something that comes in that is the calm that you keep saying, I just want calm, I just want peace, when you get that, you're going to sabotage it. You're either going to walk right past that person or you're going to get into a relationship and keep causing the chaos inside of it. So you need to be aware, dear listener, that it's an internal game that you're playing with this. It's not the other person. If you're seeking chaos and you don't understand it, if you've been looking at your life and like everything just seems to be so angry and hard and everything is this, there's an energy that you're putting out in that. And if you don't even agree with like the whole metaphysical energy thing, that's cool. That's your choice. But then just notice that the attitude you have is the attitude that people are going to bring back to you. And we've all had this basic example. When you wake up in a good mood and somebody else in the house walks in angry or grumpy, your mood changes. 9 times out of 10, your mood is going to change because it's probably more comfortable for you to be angry and grumpy. So you need to be aware of what you are doing and what feels familiar. And just because it feels familiar doesn't make it right. You need to be aware of how you want to show up in life and then keep reminding yourself as you go through it that it is safe to do this. For me, it's feeling relaxed. I grew up in a very tense environment and I am actively trying to just embrace calm, and my body has a hard time doing it because it's just not familiar with it. So rather than like, you know, put two hands on my shoulders and push them down and like keep them down here forever, I just keep reminding myself, you know, like, oh, your shoulder's in your ear right now. Just let it settle a little bit. Not 100%. We're just going to go down 1% right now and just let it settle. Then we'll do it again and again and again. So we just want you to really grab this concept and make it your own, because mm-hmm. it will change your life. And the life that you probably feel is waiting for you on the other side of this, it's it within you, and you know you're capable.
I love that. And I will say that using a coach, working with a coach like what we offer, or working with a therapist can really help with these topics of self-sabotage, it really helps you if you've never had the experience of taking the time to understand yourself and why you are the way you are. It really releases a lot of the shame of it, where you realize that you're not trying to mess up good things on purpose. Of course you're not. It's just everything inside of your body is sort of behaving unconsciously based on all of your life experiences. And bringing awareness to it and understanding your own patterns is the path towards the life that you want. And I am like constantly reminding myself of all of these things. We have experience with this in our personal life. You know, I'm always like, Andrew's a good person. He's a calm person. There's nothing scary around the corner. There's no blow up that's about to happen. Like, he really is peace and good and just gold. I mean, I could just go on, but
thank you.
You have to remind yourself of this depending on your upbringing and experiences, because your brain is always going to try to protect you and go back to like, oh, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about trusting that person. Oh, you got to watch out. And I think a lot of people experience that. And unfortunately, most people can never grow enough past it to really believe that they deserve what's good and what's calm. But we're here to tell you that you are. You are worthy of that. And I'll tell you, the good, sweet, kind, calm people will work with you as you heal these parts of you until you can get to that point on the thermostat where you are used to being at that higher vibration, that better level.
Yeah. And that's why you should get coaching from us, dear listener.
For sure.
But yeah, but thank you for the compliments. And it's true. I think the concept to take away is that you're not choosing to sabotage yourself. Your nervous system, your whole existence is trying to regulate. So when you can allow yourself to just reframe it like, oh, everything always goes good. And then I mess it up and then I do this. And, you know, like I always lose weight and then I gain the weight back over, you know, a month. You're just regulating. That doesn't mean that your normal needs to stay normal forever. You can choose to change your baseline. It takes conscious effort. It takes breaking a pattern that your body has been used to its whole life. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this a lot in Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Your body is the culmination of your whole life. So it knows how to tie your shoes, but it also knows how to get back into a normal state, whether that normal state is high anxiety, high cortisol, fear, whatever it is. It's going to do that because that's what's familiar. And it doesn't mean that you're broken. It just means that you are so used to being a certain way that it's going to take conscious effort and usually outside observers to help you change that.
I like that. So I want to talk about maybe some signs that people can look for if they're not sure whether or not they're doing that. Like, here are some signs that you might be hitting the happiness ceiling, that you might have unintentionally done some self-sabotaging. The big one, kind of related to what I just said, is like you get anxious when things are calm. You feel uneasy. You feel like Andrew said, the other shoe's about to drop.
Yeah. Another one is you overthink when things are going well. So, you know, everything's going good. You're in flow. And then your brain kind of starts going, well, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And you were having a great work day, a great work stretch. And that overthinking kicks in because you have gotten used to thinking you need to protect yourself from everything that happens. And when things go well, that natural thing comes in that this isn't going to last forever, because nothing does. You know, we're human beings. We're going to go from happy to sad, and, you know, good work and bad work and all this stuff. But that overthinking kind of kicks in, and it's being aware of that, of just, wow, I'm really overdoing this right now. So that's what we're wanting you to have the awareness on. And that's the situation.
Yeah. I think another one is when you create problems that aren't there. And like, I know
we're...
No. No, but like, glad you can recognize it in yourself, Andrew.
I'm just laughing. We all do it. No,
yeah,
no, but
I
definitely do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things are going well and like it feels uncomfortable. So you kind of like notice something that annoys you, or like something happens or whatever it is. You just kind of like attract that negative energy and like you just pick at something that didn't need to be picked at.
Yeah, exactly. It's leaving well enough alone sometimes that is really hard for a lot of us. Is another phrase that kind of comes to mind. Another one is just that you suddenly, quote unquote, lose motivation. And that is, everything is going good. Your business is taking off. Things are going exactly how you've always imagined them. And you have that snapback of, I just can't motivate myself to work. I can't do this. And it's because that fear has showed up. and is going, yeah, we're not used to this next level of whatever it is, of success, of health, of happiness. And suddenly you're not putting the time into the things that you were putting the time into because you're afraid of what that might look like because it's not familiar. So the takeaway and the reframe of this is this feeling isn't a sign something is wrong. It's a sign something is new. Something isn't wrong. Something is new. And the more you can get uncomfortable with it and lean into the new, the better you're going to be. Because otherwise, you're just going to go back to familiarity. And that is not what we want for you.
Yeah. So when you notice these things, when you build that self-awareness, it gives you that time to pause. You know, try to sit in the discomfort of things being like really good. Try to be like, wow, things are actually really good. And just kind of soak in it for a little bit. You know, if you have money in your bank account, money hits your bank account, just get used to the feeling of having that much in your bank account. Let good start to be your new normal and realize that this isn't a linear path. It's going to take some repetition for it to become a habit.
Yeah. I would also label it. I would say when you are having that moment, acknowledge it. Just say like, oh, my thermostat's kicking on or I've hit my ceiling and sit with the discomfort. Sit with it. Just kind of go, yep, yeah, this feels weird and new, but it's not wrong. And this is actually better for me. This is something I am choosing as a new experience rather than the old experience, which has not served me anymore.
Yeah. So the life that you want, it's not blocked. It's you're not unable to reach the goals that you have. It's just an unfamiliar feeling. And you're designed biologically to resist things that feel strange or unfamiliar as the basis of our species survival. And so you have to take the time to reflect and push past that in order to start doing some different things that will give you some different results.
Yeah. You're not afraid of failure. You're unfamiliar with things going right. And the more you can experience things going right and enjoy it, the more you're going to have things going right and enjoy it. It's a really good circle to get into. So as we wrap up this topic, I'll give you a point of reflection, and that is, where in your life are things actually going good, but you're making them harder? And as I say that to myself, I definitely have a few things that pop up. How about you, Kat?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So again, we're always coming to you guys, not as a, you know, super high up experts on these things, but as two people who are working on these things in real time and happy to coach others on what we've learned and be that support for you if you need it.
Yeah, we're always here for you. If you want, you just send us a note at hello@5uu.com and we're happy to chat with you. All right, Kat. So what do you want to do first? Thrifting treasure?
Yeah, if you're new here, we share our thrifting treasures. We are active thrifters. It's our fun hobby. We share a lot of it on Instagram. Crazy thing, found this glass fish at the thrift store and it was like really big and it was chipped and I had to pick up our son from tennis. So like I left it there, but then I woke up thinking about it and I had to go back and get it. And fortunately, it was there. Turns out it was a piece of Murano glass. It was signed by the artist, mid-century, very cool, pretty valuable. But the wild thing about it is that I kind of filmed myself going back to get it and it got 1.7 million views on social media. And we're just like floored. And I'm horrified because it's the only video I've done with no makeup on, hair in a bun. But I was like, I gotta go back and get the fish. So I am both excited and humiliated all at the same time.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's a very cool fish. And the thing taking off on our Mom's Got Money Instagram has just been wild. For me, I think the coolest thing that I did was I did one of those infamous like 5-minute pop-ins. And I'm like, I don't even think I'm going to find anything here. And I ended up leaving, spending $25 because we flip stuff sometimes. And I figured like we're going to make $200 from it once it's all kind of sold. Like there's Lululemon tops for really affordable and some ties and everything. I was just like, wow. So you just never know when you're going to have a good find. And I am leaning into this very fun, comfortable feeling of finding good things at the thrift store.
Yeah, it's fun. We have hobbies. I'm so proud of us.
Yeah, we're doing our best to keep a hobby right now. And it's so far so good. And that's not a happiness ceiling. We are literally going to go thrifting after recording this. And what's your glimmer for the week?
Man, so many things, you know. Yeah, I had a really good week with the kids, not because everything was perfect, but because I felt like I had a lot of patience for them this week. You know, I feel like, you know, the two little ones are in middle school. There's a lot of ups and downs with friends and things like that. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, managing other people's emotions and things like that. And I actually think I had a really good week of just letting them feel their feelings and supporting them, being there for them. So I'm super grateful for them. They're so cool.
I love that.
I love that. For me, it's just, you know, I've actually had a very good, productive week. I feel like since our business has taken off and everything's going really, really well, I've been feeling back in the flow more than I ever have in the last few years, and just kind of soaking it in and just allowing it to be, which ties into this episode, of course, and just really enjoying it. That's really been the big thing of it all.
I love that. I'm happy for that.
Yeah, thanks. Me too. Well, dear listener, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time when we are talking about how to handle jealousy. It's going to be a good one. Make sure you tune in. We'll see you.
Bye.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.